bed in the storm. It seems like forever. You're not a computer. Has been oh so long. Your ship has lost anchor. And the storm's got you drifting. But the night's on.
Age to age he stands, and time is I don't say this just because Brother Daniel's standing here, but I can tell you, and he can vouch for this, that throughout the course of our time in this assembly, the way the Lord leads me in a direction to go in ministry, Brother Daniel will come to me, and it'll be exactly, or vice versa, the Lord leads us both in the same direction. He's always right down that same line, and so I'm thankful that the Lord works that way with us, because it's not, you know, it's not me standing here, it's not Brother Daniel standing here. We both have a desire for it to be the Lord Jesus Christ who's doing the leading and guiding. And so we're happy to see the Lord do that. So I know this morning what God's put on his heart will be a blessing to you. Amen. Let's sing Jesus Draw Me Close as we get ready to start.
Jesus, draw me close.
Yes,
It is good to be in the house of the Lord, amen.
Yes.
Tell you what's been one of them services. The phone start going right down the same deal. I go, no, here we go again. We'll be okay. We're still just going to stay straight on it. And our brother gets up there and starts saying, I go, oh, Lord, here we go again. And it's just right down the whole morning. It's good, and you think it would make you feel more at rest, but actually it makes you more nervous. I thank God for His grace. I think.
Yes, right.
It's been a battle. And it seems like it's just the more battles come, it's just the sweeter the presence of the Lord.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Let's just take our Bibles. Amen. Let's just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 10. We're going to read verses 3 through 5. Corinthians 11:10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read one more scripture, if you don't mind them. It's 1 Peter chapter 5. And it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. This is great. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, God. God, you know what I feel this morning, God. You know the weakness of myself, God, and realizing that I have nothing in myself, God. I'm looking directly unto you, God, and seeing how, Lord, every song this morning, God, has been led by you, Lord, and we're so thankful for that, Father. I ask you to help me, Lord, to completely depend upon you, Lord. Help me not say anything out of tone, God, to say exactly what you want me to say, Lord, and help it be received in the way that you're wanting it spoken, God. Because, Lord, I don't want to have any, you know, we know the enemy would love to be able to take things out of cater or different things, God, but help this service be committed all to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You can be seated. Really count it a privilege to be in the house of the Lord this morning. His grace is sufficient, amen?
Amen.
You know, if it wasn't for trials, we wouldn't have testimonies, right? You know, it'd be a wonderful thing if you go through life and just it's all hunky-dory, we just sing praises and you feel the Holy Ghost and you go through your week and just, you see God working. But sometimes, you know, it's just the opposite. You don't feel the presence of God sometimes. And you don't see things working, and it seems like everything's so dark, then all of a sudden, everything changes. Amen?
Right.
And that's what changes the testimony. I want to speak to you this morning on the prevailing bride. And, you know, what really gives us that overcoming power within us, it is the Word of God. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the music is wonderful, and those things are great. But sometimes, like I say, in the midst of a battle, sometimes you don't feel that music. You don't feel the songs. You don't feel all these great things. And you know, we have an enemy that comes and he wants to devour our homes, devour our life, our livelihood, and our rejoicing in the Lord. And we have to remember that we have an enemy, saints of God.
That's right.
And we have an enemy and he has a specific objective. And I don't like football, but I'm going to use football for an example. When I was little, I loved it. I hated it the older I get. Praise God. I hope it just keeps going that way.
Yeah.
I've seen some people that are so consumed by it, it's, Lord, they need help.
That's right.
You know, you ever been in a waiting room and you can talk about the weather and some people may talk. You may talk about all these things. You may get input and you can say, how about those 49ers? And some 50-year-old lady, oh, I tell you what. Like, my goodness, 50-year-old lady. Because it's something that attracts people of all ages. Am I telling the truth?
That's true.
It's something that gets their attention. But you know what? You can talk about the Lord. And it just brings fire in my bones, saints of God.
Amen.
I was at work just the other day, and helped me just be able to get this nervousness off of me so I can speak a little bit. I was at work the other day, and I'm training two new guys, and it's going great by the grace of God. It gets trying sometimes, And it was just one of those days where it just, you, no matter how fast you work, you couldn't get caught up. Like, you'd get one vehicle out or two vehicles out, and you're like, fine, I can sit down and eat my lunch. I heated my lunch up three times. And every time it would go off, it would be ready to eat, and I'd go open the microwave up and pull it out, and here come two more cars. I'd just shut it and push the button again, let it do its course. And it was just one of those days. You know, we all have them, amen? All
right.
Well, I was going through this day, and it was just a struggle. And you know, you don't really necessarily feel the Holy Ghost, but you still have the Lord. And I finally got them all done and finally got my chicken out, and it was black as you've ever seen. The most burnt chicken you've ever seen. And I've been trying to eat this thing all day. And I should have let it cool off before I shut the door and hit the button, I guess. You know, shows you how much we depend on our wives, brothers.
That's right.
Well, I was at this time, and you don't really feel the Holy Ghost move because now I'm hungry. I'm ready to eat, and I ain't got nothing to eat. I'm like, well, no problem. I'll just pull out money out of my wallet. Well, pull out my wallet, and I remember I gave all my money to my wife last night. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. Tuck it inside there. And I was sitting there. It was just one of those times. But then I seen this old station wagon pulling in my driveway up there. And this thing's old. I mean old. And I'm thinking, surely he don't want me to work on that thing. This old man gets out of the station wagon, comes up, and his old clothes on, and just a sweet old man, you know. He comes up. And he just says, I just wonder if y'all sell oil. And I stop and I look at all my tanks and all my bottles of fluid and everything. I said, yes, sir, I certainly do sell oil. I do. I do. I have quite a bit of it. I mean, just any kind you want, I'm going to have what you need. He said, well, okay. He said, I don't know if you know about the Bible very much. He said, if you read the Bible, I said, well, I don't know a whole lot about it. I said, but I know the author. And he said, well, that's the most important part. And we started talking scriptures, brothers and sisters. And all of a sudden, my old feathers started fluffing out a little bit. And I started feeling good again. We started talking about the Lord. And it brought fire in my bones, amen.
Yeah.
Well, this man, we were talking and we were rejoicing. And he said, you know, and I really believe he was trying to check me is what he was doing. Because he said, you know, he said, we really need God. We need it. I said, yes, we do, brother. I said, you know what? Because we got a rapture coming, brother. And we got to be ready for it. Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen, brother. He said, well, actually, the rapture's not in the Bible. I said, you're right. It says caught up. And he just looked at me and he got a smile a little bit. And he said, and we was talking about this different things. And I said, you know, there's seven church ages. And he said, yes, sir. And I said, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum. He said, yes, sir. That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I started talking about these things. And I was talking about overcoming. And I said, you know, the way they overcome is that angel of each age received a word, and he gave that word to the age, and when they received that word, that gave them overcoming power.
That's right.
A man clapped his hands like that. That's right, brother. That's right. He said, brother, there's only two overcomers. There's only two ages. The man said, oh, no, brother. I said, oh, no. Let me show you some things. We began sitting here, and I'm telling you what, by the time my voice is about as loud as it is now, I'm so excited I can't stop containing myself. But I'm showing scriptures and you know, throughout our conversation, and he said, brother, I believe those things. I believe those things. And at the end of our meeting, he finally left, and we gave each other a big hug on the neck, and he said, God bless you. I said, God bless you, brother. Never met them before in my life. Never had. And I went back here, and my employees are back here, and they come back, and they said, and they just stayed in the office. They didn't even want to come in there. I go out, and I'm just smiling, and one was a color guy, and one's a white guy. And they come out there in the big old white eyes. He said, what's going on out there? I said, we're rejoicing, brother. We're having church. And William said, I said amen a couple of times. He said, man, and he said, that's pretty good stuff. I said, yeah, it is. But see, that's the way it is, brothers and sisters. You know, it's not the music sometimes. It's the word of God.
Right.
You know, he could have been talking about a song, and it may not have done nothing. But when he talked about that word, there was something on the inside of him. He said, amen. You know what? That's the prevailing Christian. That's what gives us that overcoming power. It's the Word. Because we can talk about the Word. You know, it don't matter what trial we're going through. You look at Christ of Calvary. You know, it looked absolutely hopeless. Whenever it was all dark, it had already been 3 days. There's no hope at all. The Word says he's gonna rise again, but how can it do it now? It's so black. It's so dark. But the Word said he'll rise again. Amen?
Amen.
And he did it. Because the Word said so. And you know what? That's the same thing with us, brothers and sisters. You know what? God gave us promises in the Word of God, and it may come to a point where it looks hopeless. It's too late now. It's not going to happen now. But the Word says it.
Right. And if the word says it's going to happen, brothers and sisters. Right. And that's something I want to talk about today. Is, you know what? We have an enemy that wants to take those promises away from me. Because have you ever noticed you can rejoice like we're doing right now? This feels so good in the Lord.
Yes,
you're on cloud nine. But you know what? What happens throughout your daily walk? You stop thinking about those things. You stop meditating on the Word. You stop rejoicing about what God's done. And then you start thinking about cares of this life.
That's right.
You start looking at the lost loved ones. You look at the hopeless generations of all the entertainments and all these different things. And you can get so beat down by the cares of life. I don't even look at the gas pump numbers anymore. I fill up. And people ask me all the time, how much is gas right now? I said, I don't know. I just put 10 gallons in my tank. That's all I know. I said, you know why? And I talked to some customers the other day. I said, you know why I don't do that? I said, because if I look at that, I'm going to allow myself to get frustrated. Because I'm going to look at this, it's already up 5 cents a gallon. Or it's up 10 cents a gallon. But you know what? I look at it this way, brothers and sisters. My God is my provider.
That's right.
God's my provider.
That's right.
And He may use my job that I'm at right now. Listen to me very closely this morning. God's my provider. And it's God's responsibility to provide my needs. And He may use my job right now to do that.
Right.
But that job is not my provider. God is.
That's right.
And that means if God, I still got God. I can lose my job tomorrow.
That's right. That's
but
right.
God's still there.
Amen.
And if I will look unto Him and I can just walk in the Word of God and say, God, I want You more every day. I'll grow in the Lord and my needs will still be met.
That's exactly
but what happens is He'll let bombardments come to your mind because you've got all this financial stress that tries to come. Look unto God and see if God will
listen. That's right.
Amen.
That's
right.
Because you can lose your job today.
Exactly right.
God's still there, brother.
Sir.
You look at the healings. You know that we have need healings in your body. You know what? God is your healer. God's a healer. Doctor, He may work through a doctor, but God's got the final say so.
That's right.
God does, brothers and sisters.
That's right.
I'm preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching
to you.
It's
true, brother.
Because you know what? I still got lying vanities that come around. Come on, brothers and sisters.
Right.
I'm talking lying vanities where, you know what? I can't stand to listen to anybody criticize somebody else because they have a backache.
That's right.
I can't do that. You know why? I know what it feels like to have a backache. And I've heard people, I heard somebody the other day, customers, was criticizing his wife. He said, my wife, she's always whining because her back hurts. He said, she can't tell me her back hurts because she went and got those steroid shots in her back. There ain't no way. I said, brother. I said, you can't say that in front of me. I said, because I went through that. I got those shots in my back and it didn't help. It hurt 10 times worse. So you can't do this. Really? Really? Where am I going through this? You remember that when your spouse or your loved one is going through something and you say, you know what? I've been through that and it ain't that bad. Don't ever say that around me. So I'm telling you something. You don't know what it feels like to know what they're going through.
Oh, no.
You know what? I hate to hear someone say, I know what you're going through because I went through the exact same thing. Have you?
Right.
Have you gone through the same thing I'm going through? Am I speaking this morning?
Right.
You know what? Because that's the truth, brothers and sisters. You don't know what that feels like to that other person. This young man right here, he may be scared of a dog. I'm going to use something Brother Tony said years ago. This man right here might be scared to death of a black dog. I mean, just terrified. Because he's eyeball to eyeball with that thing. He's way down here to that eyeball. You know, with that dog. And it's going to be 10 times scarier for him. But you know what? I could go to the same dog. I'll slap him in the head and go on about my business. It's probably going to bother me too much. Why? Because I'm in a different standpoint than what he's at.
Yes.
Come on. Right. And you know what? Our brothers and sisters can be going through something and fighting a battle. And someone can say, you know what? That's not that big of a battle. You get down eyeball to eyeball with what they're going through.
That's right.
You get the extra load on their back that they're carrying around. And then let's see if you're saying the same talk.
That's right.
Come on. Now, Rise in Honduras going through the mountains. If I was going without nothing on my back, I could skip through them hills like nothing. I mean, I was doing fine on the way to the pack because the other brothers were packing their stuff for me. Well, we were coming back from preaching the services, and we're going back, and I remember going up there, and I skipped them hills like nothing. I'm in shape, you know. Well, there was this young sister. She was walking, and they put me on a horse, and I'm riding this horse going through there and going up these big old steep hills, and I'm thinking to myself, that poor sister, I ain't doing this. I am not riding this horse. I am not. I'm gonna be a gentleman. I'm gonna get off here and let her ride. So I'm speaking to the interpreter. I said, "You let this sister ride this horse. I want her to ride. I am not gonna walk or ride this horse, but she's walking." He said, "Brother, she can do this with no problem." I said, "Brother, I got strong legs. I can do this. Trust me." He said, "Okay." His brother Paco, my interpreter. So they put her on top of that horse, and I'm telling you something, brothers and sisters, I started going up them hills. I got the backpack on my back this time, and I'm going up them same hills. I mean, I'm just everything I've got trying to get up this hill. You know, I'm giving everything I've got. And when she was doing, she was just... And I'm feeling ashamed. I'm feeling ashamed as much as I hate to say it. You know, guys are supposed to be stronger than women. Well, I'm going up this hill, but that's the perfect example I'm showing, you know. See, she was equipped with walking that walk because she'd done it so many times.
That's right.
And she gained experience from it, so to speak. She'd been through that same trial every day, walking up that thing. So you take someone that's been through that trial a lot of times, they can go through it a lot easier, man. But if you're going through it for the first time or even the third time for me, you're about to die. But you know what, Brother James Miller, I was about to die. I'm out there. Brother Miller said, "Are you okay, Brother Daniel?" I said, "I'm fine." He said, "You don't look fine, brother." I said, "Okay, I'm not." I said, "Please, give me some relief, brother." Brother Miller gets off that horse, he packs that thing, he's like, "Onward, Christian soldier." And he just starts going right up them hills like nothing. I'm like, "Oh my Lord, how does that brother do that?" You know how he does it? Experience. He'd done it so many times, walking them hills in Honduras. He brought experience. And you know what? That's the way it is with us. While we go through trials like we do sometimes, we're gaining experience. We're gaining character. Because you know what trials will do? Two things. It'll reveal the character you've got, and it'll build more character. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
You really want to see what someone's made of? You put them under pressure. Brother Tony used an illustration one time, and I don't advise the young ones to do this. He said, if a cat's trying to act like a dog, put its tail on a vise and crank it up. You tell real quick what it is, because it's going around. I tell the kids, don't do that. My kids are like, "Ooh, that's a good idea. We'll try that." But you know what? That's what it is, brothers. Prevailing Christians, brothers and sisters. As we go through this life, we go through one trial after another, one battle after another. Why are we doing this? It's because God is working through us. Amen? Because He's prevailing through us. And you know, I'll share testimonies of what I see God doing. We prayed for a man by the name of Roscoe Yates. I remember that. We prayed for him. The man had cancer. Here, we're back. He's my old supplier. The man came by specifically to see me the other day. Let me tell the church, thank you for praying. He got a test. He got his results back, and he another test, and he's completely cancer free. Absolutely. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. You know what? When God does something great, we need to talk about it. We need to testify about it. I think about Rahab the harlot. You know, whenever they come, Joshua, they said, "We have heard about what God's been doing," and it says the enemies heard that. And they trembled because they heard what God had done in their lives. You know what? If we would testify more about what we see God doing in our lives, in our midst right now, the devils will be trembling a whole lot more.
That's exactly right.
But you know, a lot of times the reason they don't is because we're talking about everything else. I got this going bad. I got this going bad. And I had a brother come by yesterday evening. And he was struggling about finances and different things. And I was going through the same thing I'm talking about now. And I said, "Brother," there used to be a sister, Brenda, used to sing a song. "I got food on my table. I've got shoes on my feet." Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Sister Claire? I began to testify to that man last night after singing that song. I said, "You know what? So we need to rejoice that God's our provider. And God is going to meet your needs, brother.
That's
if
right.
you're committed to Him." I said, "But you've got to quit talking about what you don't have.
That's
and
right.
start talking about what you do have."
That's
amen.
Right.
And see, says, brothers and sisters, if we will do that, we'll see more of God moving. I'm telling
right.
you.
Amen.
You know what? You need jobs like remodeling jobs. I've testified that many times doing my landscaping, I ain't got nothing to do on my sheet. And my boys were with me. We're going down the road, knocking on doors, trying to get jobs, couldn't get nothing. I said, "Boys, I'm going to show you how to put God to work." Remember that, boys? I said, "We're going to bow our head, we're going to pray, and you watch God come on the scene." We prayed right there in an old black truck I had. The thing was beat up all to pieces, but it was my truck. Amen. God gave me that truck.
That's it.
And I waxed that thing. I cleaned it up. I took care of that thing. You know why? God gave it to me.
That's good, brother.
All right? When God gives you something, you take care of it.
Right.
And we were sitting in there, we bowed our heads right then. We prayed. We said, "God, you know I need this. I've got bills coming in this week. You know I need this." We went to the very next house right there in Pacola. Went through there and knocked on the door. She said, "I've been praying that someone would send me somebody to do work." I said, well, God answers prayers, amen. Put God to the test sometimes, brothers and sisters. When you've got a need, pray. And you tell your children, reminds me of the Passover, they say, when the children ask you, what meaneth this? Why are we doing this blood on the lamb? You tell them it's the Lord's Passover. You know what? We as mothers and fathers have got to tell our children, this is why we do these things. When these trials come upon us, we're going to pray to God, and you watch God come on the scene.
That's it, brother.
And God will come on the scene, not because of you, because you're using His Word. You're using His Word. His Word says, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, ask what you will, and He'll give it unto you. And I'm telling you what, it happens, brothers and sisters.
Thank God.
So it's imagination. You know, the devil wants so much to make you feel like you're the pauper, when really you're the child of the King.
Right.
Brother Brennan talked about the slave, and this man went over there to go buy some slaves, and he looked at all, and they were all beat down, every one of them. They were so torn to pieces, and just kind of remember what I was saying about earlier about people, you don't know what they're going through. These slaves were all beat down, their backs were all beat up, they were all bloody, they were depressed, they were taken away from their families and all these different things, and that was expected of them to see those things. It's expected to see a slave beat down. But then he seen this other slave walking out there, and his shoulders were up, his chest was out. He was just working, and he said, "I want that slave. Is he the boss?" No, he's just one of the slaves.
Nope.
He gets better food than they, you know. He's just one of the slaves. Then why is he like that? I used to wonder the same thing.
Yep.
Then I found out that his father is the king of the tribe in his own country.
That's right.
Now you stop and think about that. His father was a king of a tribe in another country, and because he knew that, he walked like a king.
Right.
And even through his trials, he walked with his chest out. Even though he was going through what he's going through, he is walking, and he's just happy as to be. And I'll tell you something, how God can use testimonies like that to work in your lives. I was at work here today, and I'll tell you something, when my grinder and stuff got stolen, I make more money at stump grinding than I do at my job. And it hurt tremendously at the time that happened. Well, so it was a big struggle for me, but I'm not going to let that beat me down. And also, I began to rejoice at work. I was testifying at work, doing all these things at work. And one of my workers was talking to them. He said, "Look at this guy. He's being robbed. Someone took all of his stuff, and he's still happy." Why? And that guy said, "What? You're still happy?" He said, "I'd be mad." I said, "No. No, man." I said, "Because God's my provider, and God will meet the needs. Amen." And the guy looked at me, and he said, "Man," he said, that's the Bible.
Right.
That's the Bible. He said, because
right.
You know what? Most people would be so mad and so,
right.
He said,
that's
so
right.
Ready to take him to jail. I've had so many people tell me, "You need fresh charges. You need to send them to prison." I can't do that. I can't send them to prison. You know why? Because I know how I've been forgiven.
Right.
I know how God forgave me. And I know what I was worthy of. And for me to send him before a judge, I can't help but see what God did for me. And you know, the Scripture says, "Vengeance is mine," said the Lord, "and you do good to those that do evil." You do good unto them. That's what it says.
Right.
You know, Scripture says, someone smites you on the face, you turn the other cheek, give them the other cheek.
Uh-huh.
Now, you see that I love Jesus and all those things? That's one of those things I'm wonderful. Let someone walk up and slap you in the face.
That's right.
Then you can start seeing what you really made of.
That's exactly right. All right.
Well, that happened just the other day, and I wasn't saying it for show. I was speaking from my heart. God knows it's the truth. And God had met the need. And Friday, we was in the end of my day, and we were finishing up. I see a red Tahoe come swinging by the door, and I've shut my doors down and everything. I'm like, "Oh, Lord, hope you don't want those things." It was that man that was in there that day when we was doing that oil change. He said, "I want to talk to you for a minute." I said, "Okay." I walk out there. He stuck his hand. His name's Mr. Gray. Stuck his hand out there. He said, "I'm going to shake your hand, brother." He said, "Because ever since that day, when you told me that," he said, "ever since that day," he said, "the same thing happened to me." He said, "I realized that God had been dealing with my heart and how I was holding such a vengeful heart against those people." I said, tears in his eyes. He said, "I want to tell you, thank you. Thank
good,
you, brother.
Good, brother."
You know what? Because I want you to stop thinking, why am I telling you this? Because sometimes you're going to go through hard times when you know you've been done wrong. Come on.
That's right.
You know it was done wrong. You know it wasn't right. But
right.
You know what? It's that time when you do good from the heart.
That's
what's
right.
Coming.
Right.
When you can love them from the heart when you know they did wrong.
That's right.
Because that's coming from the heart. You know, because sometimes it's what we just say. Sister Hattie writes the same way. Sister Hattie Wright was sitting there with them while they were just talking about that, and from her heart, she just said, it ain't nothing but the truth. When she asked that, when she said, it ain't nothing but the truth, right there. When she said that, brothers and sisters, said, ask what you will. Well, why did that happen? It's because what she had been thinking about. Scripture says a man will speak from the abundance of his heart.
That's right.
You want to know what a man's been thinking about? Listen to what he talks about. You want to know what a woman's been thinking about? Listen to what she talks about. So if you got someone that gossips all the time, what they've been thinking about. Amen? But you know what? You got someone that likes to talk about the Lord. You get some people, you get like Brother Tony. I can't be around this brother very long at all. And he starts talking about the Lord. It just happens. You know why? He's got God on the inside. Got Brother Gary, and Brother Gary comes to the house. I can be with that brother no more than 10 minutes. And that brother starts talking about the Lord. Hey, man, that's good, ain't it?
Yes, that's right.
You know what? When you've got brothers and sisters, and don't you love those times when you're going through a hard, just bitter time? I say the word bitter time. Just a rough time in your heart where you're not smiling, so to speak. And you got someone else you can go to, and not 5 minutes later, you're smiling again. You're talking about the Lord again. You're rejoicing again. Why? It's the environment that person's creating around them. My wife used to say something. We were young, real young married, and I used to bring her to service at least once. But she used to always say, you know, I'd be going through all the time, and she'd say, smile. I said, I don't feel like smiling. Come on, couples. You know what I'm talking about. We were young married. We were going down the road, and I was thinking about the cares of this life. I was thinking about, I got this meal, I got this, I got that, and she started worrying, and she said, smile. I said, I don't feel like smiling. And she said, well, whenever you're down, everyone's down. I said, so make me up. And you know what? And that was a learning experience for the both of us. Because then she realized, you know what? If he's down, I need to do something to help him get up. And then when once she sets something up, before all she's got to do is start singing a song, start talking about the word just a little bit, and I'm giddy up. I'm ready to go. But you know what? I explained something to her. I said, you know what? I said, do something that makes me smile. Get my mind off of these things. So now, we're going down the road or something, that old face starts dripping down, and I can't hide my feelings. If I'm mad, you're going to know I'm mad. If I'm happy, you're going to know I'm happy. I'm not a good liar at all. Well, we're going down the road now, and if I start getting down again, she don't even say, smile. She starts singing. That's right. My little wife starts singing. I tell her she needs to do it back there. But you know what? She'll start singing in the truck, or she'll start talking about what God's been doing in my life. What God's been doing in our midst. And all of a sudden, that old fire starts kindling up again. And he starts moving a little bit. And she starts talking a little bit. I said, you know what? That's right. God did do that through us, didn't he? God did do that before he did. And before too long, I'm feeling good, and I'm on beat again. I'm ready. Sometimes I just need a charge. Brother Graham talked about that preacher. He said he'd stand up there and preach a little bit, and he'd walk out there, and he'd shake his hand. He'd go back over there, and he'd start preaching again, and he'd go back there, and he'd shake his hand. And he did that probably 5 or 6 different times. And Brother Branham told him, he said, don't get me wrong. I love to shake your hand, brother. I do. He said, why do you keep coming shaking my hand? He said, I need a charge. Anyway, you know what? We need a charge sometimes, brothers and sisters. We need another brother or sister to be able to come along and stick their hand out and just give you a handshake. Or give you a telephone call and say, you know what? I just want you to know I'm praying this morning. And I'm praying for you. You ever notice how someone can do that to you? And all of a sudden, your load's a little lighter.
That's right.
I believe that sometimes, you'll be going through your life, and someone will come across your mind. But come through your mind. I'm telling you, you either need to pray for that person right then, or you need to send them a text, you need to call them, and tell them, you know what, I'm praying for you.
Yes.
That's right. And I'm going to stop right here and show you something, the urgency of prayer. Prayer is our greatest weapon. You believe that? Prayer. Now think about this. In prayer, sometimes God will put that urgency in you because you're in the Spirit and you don't even feel like it sometimes. But you're walking in the Spirit. You'll be going through your daily life and that unction will come upon you to pray right there. But how many times do we put it off until later on? But you know what? If we will listen right then.
That's right.
And pray. But right then, you see what God will do. That's and right. I was driving a forklift at Planters a few years ago. And I was going through and I had a big old schedule. And that's not what happens a lot of times. A lot of times you'll be so busy, you'll tell yourself, God, I'll pray for you in just a minute. But right now I'm busy. How many does that sometimes? I was riding my forklift. I had a heavy load of stuff I got to get done that put more on me because God had blessed me with the forklift. I was pretty good at driving it. So I had all these loads I had to have done, and I told him I could do it. But God put this urgency in me to pray right then. And I started to drive off, and I grabbed the handle to back up, and I just felt it more strong. You need to pray right now. And so right then, I bowed right where I was at. I said, God, you know I have got all this work I got to get done. You know I do. You know, I said, I don't know why I'm praying. I do not know. I said, but I'm giving it to you right now in Jesus' name. I committed to him. Not a real long prayer, just from my heart. Amen. I back up. I go up. The very next pallet I go to pick up. The very next one. It's 5 tiers high. I picked that thing up, and someone had crammed it up too far. I backed up and shattered glass. Come all over top of my forklift. And it should have killed me. It hurt me really bad. But I'm going to tell you something. When it come down, there was plastic from the side of the wrapper that fell just right. Saran wrap that's around the pallets fell just right over the top of my forklift. Covered the front and the side. And there was glass. Broken glass that fell that high from way up there. Fell down. It was all around my forklift. And not one single one went through. Prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Now someone could say that would probably happen anyway. What if it didn't?
Right.
You know what? Sometimes you're in a hurry with the grocery market. You're trying to hurry and get going, and you know you got to get going, but you feel that urgency to pray right then. What an urgency! You stop right then and pray because you don't know what's just around that corner.
That's right.
Exactly right.
You don't know.
Exactly right.
My dad can testify to this. I was helping him do some things. We were driving. He was in his truck. We were going, and I started feeling that same feeling. Like I said, from experience, we go through these trials. You remember, wait a minute, this something's happened. I need to pray now because something in this area is fixing to happen from experience. That's what I'm talking about, trials. We're going down the road, and I feel the same familiar feeling. I'm seeing the same signs. My dad's driving, and my dad, he's dad. You know, it's just, you got a different way of communicating. And I told him, I said, Dad, we need to pray. He said, well, pray. He's dad. And he's driving the road. I said, no, Dad, we need to pray right now. He said, well, you can pray right there. I'm listening. And his job, I said, Dad, stop the truck. We've got to pray right now. I'm telling you, I feel the same feeling, the same thing. I said, well, you need to pray right now. Stop the truck. So he stops right there on the middle of the road there. It's on the side there. There's people behind us. I said, we need to pray right now. We start praying. And I'm telling you something. You know, whenever you're connecting with God, I'm praying. And I know God's dealing with my heart. It's just burning. And I'm starting to feel it kind of releasing. Kind of the way it is with me when I'm praying for somebody and I know the need's being met. I'm praying and I say amen. And I'm telling you what, the Spirit of the Lord is so strong. We start going back down the road again and my phone rings. And my brother calls me. And he said, Daniel, he said, not even 30 seconds ago. He said, I was going down the road. He said, a semi truck was coming right toward me. He said, I was going. He said, the entire truck moved straight sideways. He said, he went right past me. He said, police officers and everybody's out there. They're all worried about it. Took the bridge out of there. Prayer, brothers and sisters.
Right.
Amen.
Prayer. If I would not have went to God in prayer right then, what would have happened? Some people can say, well, it didn't have nothing to do with it. What if it did? You know what? Sometimes it's praying for one another.
Exactly right.
That's where we can get the most close to God. Have you ever noticed that? I can be praying for myself. In trials and tribulations and all these different things of my own self, and it seems like I'm just bumping against the wall. I can't get through nothing. But like I say, God can work with you however He wants to when He prays with you. I know for me, it's like something burning on the inside. It's just like an unction for me to pray for somebody or even study the Scriptures. It's just like a burning, and I can kind of just go that way of being led by the Lord my own way. And in prayer, I can be praying for my own self, and that thing will just hit a wall and it says nothing. Nothing.
Right.
But I can start praying for my brothers and sisters, and I can feel that thing beginning to release.
Yeah.
And I can start praying for one another. Start praying for brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And then, you know what? Start hearing praise reports coming by. But I'm going to show you something. Here's a great secret in that, brothers and sisters. When that thing happens, keep it to yourself.
That's right.
When you're praying. That's why I'm not going to tell you about different needs I've seen, of needs being met. Because He says, pray in your closet.
What is
a secret. Don't let other people know it. Don't do it in front of everybody. In your closet.
That's right.
And you start praying for your brothers and sisters and start watching their needs be met.
That's right.
It reminds me of Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. He's talking about you go take your land. He says, you go help your brothers and sisters. That's what he says. So you start helping them get their rest. You remember reading that in scriptures? Let's just read it. Thank Joshua chapter 1. This is Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord hath given your brethren rest as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God hath given them. Then you shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it." You know what? In that scripture, what that speaks to me, brothers and sisters, what that shows me is, you know what? I'm going to be fighting these battles. And I'm going to get victory. And a lot of times, the reason I got victory is because I've got brothers and sisters praying for me. But you know what? Once I get that victory over them, and I'm not going through something, that's not the time to prop my feet up on the table and relax. That's my time right then to start helping my brothers and sisters get that same rest that God's given me. Amen? Because you know what? We are a body that can supply the need of one another. As I was saying, I can be praying for myself, and it seems like I can't get through. But once I start praying for my brothers and sisters, that's whenever God can meet the need for them. I'm fixing to. I just want to show you a couple of things here. Talking about being led of the Lord, when God puts a song in your heart. You know, we got musicians here. We've got gifts in the church. We've got just great musicians, great singers. And God will lay something on your heart. And I can't vouch for this from my own experience. Sometimes you have to interview other people and kind of see how God does with them. That's what Brother Branham did. So I interviewed my brother Tim one time. He didn't realize that one time, but we were sitting across the table and visiting with him. I said, "Brother Tim," I said, "the way God deals with me, when God has given me a sermon or something, I began to explain to him how God would lay it on my heart and right. It just different things and they'd build around it." I said, "Brother, is that the same way God does when God gives you a song?" He said, "Brother, that's exactly how it is." I said, "Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that." Kind of put that in my notebook. I didn't even know I was interviewing, but I was interviewing, you know. But you know what? God will deal with you from his standpoint the same way that he deals with me when he's dealing with me about the word. God will get something on your heart. And on a song or a different thing.
Right.
And you know what? When God lays that on your heart, you should sing that song.
Right.
I know that sounds real simple. I want you to really listen to me. You should sing that song. Because I was going through a trial here a while back, and my sister Sarah sung a song.
Amen.
Of "My Grace is Sufficient." And she began to sing that song, and she didn't know what I was going through. But I'm going to tell you something. It was feeding my heart and my soul. And see, God was using her to minister with me along with everybody else.
Right.
I can only testify here. I mean, if everyone else could get through, I'm sure you could say the same thing.
Come on.
But see, she was led of the Lord. And because she simply obeyed it, she was able to minister to somebody else. Amen? Now, that's a wonderful feeling to be able to minister to somebody else. And you say, you know what? I wish I could be able to minister to somebody else. You do every day.
Every day.
But you know what? The best way to minister to somebody else is just listen to the Lord.
That's it.
Just simply listen to the Lord. And when God gives you something inspirational, say it. Don't be afraid. There was a time when a sister needed healing in her teeth. I remember this very well. Like I said, sometimes from experience, you learn the good things and the bad things. And this sister needed healing in her teeth. And I felt God tell me right then, "You pray for her." And she'll have it. But there was a lot of commotion going on around, a lot of things going around, and I started to do it, but in my heart, people think I'm crazy doing that, and I didn't pray for her. And you know what? That has bothered me from that day forth, of wishing I would pray. I prayed for her 1,000 times since then. But that one time, that one moment, I felt that same burning fire. And God keeps leaving me the same heart here, that same burning fire in my heart to pray for her right then. I didn't do it. Saints of God, listen to me. When you feel that burning fire, you know what I'm talking about. If you walk with the Lord very much, you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll feel that unction of the Lord to do something. Do it right then. I mean, do it right then. Even though you're busy, even though you've got these things, take some time right then.
Yes.
And you pray and you see if God don't come on the scene. Because a lot of times, that's the way God works. God has a program and a way that he can work, and he can't do any different. He's got to do it that same way. Is that right, brother? He has a program, and that is one of God's programs, is when he's leading you, he'll lay it on your heart, because God works through man. And he'll work through, he'll give you a leading on your heart to do something or say something, and you can meet that need. There was a sister in one of Brother Brown's meetings, it was a prayer line, and they had prayer cards, and they was going to get prayed for. And this woman felt in her heart to pray for that woman's baby. And she started to pray for that baby, and she said, oh no, she's fixing to go meet the prophet of God. She said, I ain't going to do that. And she kept feeling it on her heart, and as it got closer, and finally, it just kept that same burning feeling that I feel, it's the same way I feel. She was feeling that, and finally she said, you know what, ma'am, I know you're fixing to go be prayed by the prophet. I know that. But if you don't mind, let me pray for your baby. And she prayed for that baby and maybe didn't feel no warm oil or nothing. But she simply prayed. Because, see, God gave her the call in her heart. She listened to it, and she simply prayed. And then when that baby finally got up before the prophet of God, Brother Branham, and you can hear it on the tape, Brother Branham said, this baby's already healed. He said there was a woman right out there that had already prayed for you before the service ever started. And God healed that baby. And you stop and think about that. And that's on the tape. I'm fine for you. You're going to find it. You think about that. That woman was going to go before a prophet of God. Who was she to be able to do that? Who was she to pray for this baby? But see, God laid it on her heart to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we are sometimes. Kind of reminds me of the Syrophoenician woman. When she came through there, she said, my girl is sick. And I didn't read that scripture, but I got the scripture from the Tony. I need help finding that one time earlier. That Syrophoenician woman, remember her baby was sick. And she went to him. He said, I'm here for the lost children of Israel. It's not me to give the children's bread to dogs. And she said, but surely, Lord, he said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs off the master's table. Now, if I was to call you a dog, how receptive would that be of that? Mm-hmm. Call her a dog. But she said, surely, Lord, mm-hmm. but even the dogs eat the crumbs off the master's table. Mm-hmm. And see, because she accepted that, she said, you're right, Lord. You're right. I'm not even worthy. I'm not. But even the dogs eat the crumbs off the master's table. And she had such a humble spirit, God healed that baby. Is that the scripture?
That's right, yeah.
So, in my heart, saints of God, I'm going to leave it with this right here. When God gives you a pull or unction in your heart to do something, you do it. You commit it to God.
Amen.
Because you know what? God deals with your heart. And sometimes you can walk with the Lord once a time in your life, and you don't know how you've done it, but you got away from Him. And you say, you know what? I walk with the Lord, and I'm trying to close. I am, but I just keep telling God, keep pulling me. You know what? You walked with the Lord at one time, and you felt good in the Lord. You felt so great in the Lord. But somehow or another, you got away from Him. And you can, if I was to ask you, would you deny the Lord? How many would raise your hand and say, I deny the Lord? I said, who? Through thickness, trials, no matter what. How many will stay with the Lord?
Right.
Well, we got three of us. Five of us. Six of us. Let's try that again. If I was to ask you, I want to make more for this baby then. You know? If I was to ask you, no matter what trial you're going through, who will not deny the Lord? Oh, hey, man, we got some participation there. But you know what? Peter was with them. And he said, you're going to deny me three times.
That's right.
He said, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. And he did it. And you know what? So you can tell yourself, I would never deny the Lord. I would never make those mistakes. I would never do those things. Peter was faithful. He was with Jesus Christ right there. But when the time of pressure come, he denied the Lord. And you know what? He condemned himself. He felt so condemned. He didn't even feel worthy to even look at the Lord. And that's the way God does with us sometimes. Because you know, I walked with the Lord at one time and I denied Him. I got away from Him. And you'll feel so ashamed. You'll feel like, I can't even go back to His presence. I can't. There's something in I can't even go back to Him. But Jesus went for him. He said, and you tell them, and Peter. Amen. He called Peter specifically. And then he told Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? Well, yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Well, Lord, you know I love you. I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? You know, he denied the Lord three times, but God gave him opportunity to repent. And I want to leave this with you right now.
That's good.
You know, you may feel like you denied the Lord and you left Him, but He's here. And when you hear the Word of God going to you, you feel that burning feeling because you know it's the truth in your heart. When you hear that, you receive that from the Lord. Let's just bow our heads right now. I, without a doubt, in my heart, I know that God's spoken this morning on these things that I've suffered. It is not for me. And I'm going to open this up right now. You do not have to come to an altar to pray. You can do it right from your seat. You can commit yourself to the Lord. And you can say to yourself, you know what? I walked with the Lord at one time, and you know, somehow or another, I got astray. I don't know how I did it, but I've done it, and I don't want to be this way no more. I want God to fix me. I want God to restore me. I want God to restore my home. You know what? If God's dealing with your heart in that way, you're welcome to come to the front right now, or you can stay right where you're at and just lift your hand up. You can just pray in your heart, and I'll be glad to pray with you. And God sees your hands going up. And I want you to be serious before God right now. Because I'm telling you something, God cares. God cares, and He knows that you've left Him in a way. And in your heart, though you would never deny Him, but yet in the midst of all these things, you can look and say, you know what, I deny the Lord. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to come forth now. And I'm going to ask our pastor, Brother Tony, to come up and pray with me. With every head bowed, you commit yourself to the Lord. We've got our pastor here now. And we're going to pray together. God sees the things that's going on. He sees what you're going through in your life. Your Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Heavenly Father. God, we've seen the hands that have gone through, God. And Lord Jesus, they've in their hearts, Lord, they've told you, God. God, I don't know how in the world I've done it. God, I got away from you, Lord. But Lord Jesus, we're here now. And we're lifting up our hands, God, and we're calling out to you. And God, we're asking you to restore us back to the fold, Heavenly Father. Lord, I'm asking you, Father, you'll touch their hearts right now, God. Lord, help them be able to see you in their lives, God. And Lord, in their needs being met, Heavenly Father. Lord, I ask you, Lord, let them not look for a feeling or a sensation or emotion, God. But Lord, sometimes it's simply the still small voice of simply believing. And God, I'm asking you right now, God, you will touch every heart, God. Restore them back to your fold, Heavenly Father. Lord, I ask you, Lord, restore the folds, God. Every hand that's up now, Lord, I give them to you right now, Father, in Jesus' precious name, Father. Grant, Heavenly Father. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to help them to learn to listen to that voice that's speaking to them, God, in that daily walk, Lord. Lord, as we know, we have a devil. He's talking around like a roaring lion, seeing who he can devour, God. I'm asking you, Lord, give them the wisdom to understand, God. Help us, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' precious name, Father. I'm asking the musicians to come forth, please. Brother, if you don't mind, just play a song for us. Don't let this feeling leave. Just stay right here until you leave that full release on your heart and you're at full rest. Song, Come Home, Brother, if you don't know. Come Home. No. Oh.
God was first dealing with my heart. That's probably why it means so much to me. I was going down the road and I heard it on the radio. And this, it was about an old man on a train. And he was going on this train and he's going about his business. And he's seeing this young man sitting across from him. He was crying. He was weeping. And he was a minister. And he asked the man, he said, "Young man," he said, "I notice you're crying on the train here." And he said, "I'm a minister." He said, "I don't mean to pry." He said, "I want to ask you something." He said, "Son, why are you crying?" And the young man began to talk to him. And he said, "Well, sir," he said, "you know, I used to live at home. He said, I used to serve the Lord. He said, and I used to do real good. He said, but all of a sudden, I got rebellious. He said, I got so rebellious. He said, I finally hit my father. And my father and my mother told me, son, you can't live anymore. You're not abiding by the rules. You've got to go." He said, and I lived. He said, but since that day, he said, I've given my heart to the Lord. And I've been a changed person. He said, I'm going home. And that man said, son, he said, sir, I don't mean to be mean or anything like that. He said, but what makes you think they're going to let you come home? And he said, well, I wrote a letter home. And I told him I'm sorry. I told him I'm giving my heart to the Lord now. He said, I'm coming home now. He said, and I'm riding the train going by the house. He said, there's an old tree behind the house. He said, if I can come home, he said, you put one ribbon out there. If I see that ribbon, I'm going to come home. He said, if I don't, I promise, I'll just keep driving by. He began to cry, and they were getting closer to home. And he knew his house is right over the hill. And he said, sir, he said, it's right over the hill. I just don't know. He said, can you look for me, please? And he couldn't even look at it, brothers and sisters. He just bowed his head and began to cry. He said, can you look for me, sir? And the man looked out there. He said, son, he said, there's ribbons all over the tree. He said, your mother and your father got a sheep that's wrote, come home. And they're out there waving that wag out there saying, come home, son. You know what? Sometimes we say, I want to come home. I want to. But he won't receive me. I'm telling you, every angel in heaven this morning is waving. They're saying, come home.
Amen.
Let's give everything to God this morning. Amen.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about.
Emphasizing on several things here to this congregation this morning, but I was remembering the story, and I think that we've mentioned it here recently, that Brother Ram tells about the soldier that's been shot and is laying on the battlefield dying, and the sergeant or somebody sends a chaplain out to the soldier laying out there. The chaplain comes out to the soldier and he's laying there, and he says to the young man who's dying, lungs are filling up with blood. And he asked the soldier, he said, are you a Christian? And the man said, you know, I used to be a Christian. And the chaplain said, well, where did you leave him? Where did you leave Jesus as your Savior? And the man said, well, I don't know. I can't. And the chaplain said, well, you need to hurry. You need to search your past and find where you left him, because where you left him, that's where you'll find him. See, God doesn't think like we do. He doesn't tally up stuff and say, well, you've got 10 goods and only and you got 11 bad, so I can't help you. He doesn't do it that way. It's not that way at all. He doesn't hold grudges and those sort of things. He just wants you to come to him under the blood of the cross.
That's right.
He said, well, that's where you'll find him, so you need to go back. So the soldier laying there struggling, and in just a few seconds, a smile came on his face. So what I like about the gospel, I like about the Lord Jesus Christ, is the simplicity. You don't have to be some rocket scientist or something like that.
Right.
He'll meet you in simplicity. And a smile come on the soldier's face and you begin to say a prayer. And the prayer was, now lay me down to sleep. And you know, he was about to die. He was going to go to sleep once and for all. But you know, he remembered that he used to, as a little child, he had sincerity in his heart for the Lord. And he would pray when he'd go to bed at night. And that's where he left it.
Right.
He went from that and he went off out into the world. And he realized, you know, that's where I left my Savior. And you know what? That's where he found him that day. It was right there where he left him.
Yeah.
And saints, I feel the Lord really expressing that this morning in this service. Doesn't matter what, how long, how many times, it doesn't matter what it's been. Go right where you had him.
Amen.
You'll find him right there. He's waiting with his arms open to you. It's not complicated. Satan wants to make it complicated. We make it complicated, but it's not. He's right there for you. And I believe the Lord wants us to enjoy our journey in this life. And he's given us everything that we need to be overcomers. We just have to put it into place in our lives, and we can be overcomers. And the other thing I feel like the Lord was really expressing this morning that I really wanted to bring out is how Brother Daniel was talking about how the people singing and that sort of thing. And it's just as important as it is for the minister to hear from God and come to the pulpit and speak what he hears from God. It's just as important for everyone in the service, the singers, as he related Brother Tim, to feel led of them, because that's what the scripture said. As many are as led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God, right? And that's the mark of a Christian. They have the presence of God leading them and guiding them in their life to cause them to live differently. And it's that life that leads to an overcoming life, and it's that life that God wants you to share with others.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what you need, and the singers don't know what you need, but the Holy Ghost knows. And so all we have to do is just surrender to Him just let the Lord speak, just like Sister Clara singing that song, Confirmation, right along with what Brother Daniel had been sharing yesterday.
Right.
And that's the way it works. Sister Sarah singing the song, Bless Me Too. And so she had to overcome something to stand here and give that testimony and sing that song a few weeks back. But you see what it did. So the Spirit moved upon her. She obeyed and had to overcome something to do it. And it became a blessing to others. And that's what we say when we talk about the Holy Ghost moving from one person to the next. If you could look in this room right now in that dimension, if Brother Brandon was here, he could tell you because he had that gift to see it. But he said, you could just see that light, that pillar of fire, moving from person to person, just moving and lighting upon one, moving, lighting upon one, lighting upon one. And you know, we're sitting in service and the preacher is saying something and the Holy Ghost is upon him. And all of a sudden, you hear a brother say, Amen. Well, if you could see in that realm, you'd see that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, moving and lighting. And that's the inspiration coming from one to the next to the other. And all of that plays together into one big package to edify a body and bring a body to victory. That's the way it works.
Yeah, brother.
And God's not going to do it any other way. It is a body ministry.
Yeah.
And as soon as we realize that the most and begin to, like Brother Daniel said, pray for others.
Yeah.
My wife's got some problems right now. There's another sister in the church, not here present today, that's having some of the same pain in her body. Let me, if I think she can hear me, let me express to her, pray for that other sister and watch what happens.
Exactly
it don't have to be the same sickness. It can be something else. But pray for others because you'll find out. God, it is a body ministry and God wants us to minister to one another.
Yeah.
And that's the way we live for one another. We serve God. We serve God. By serving each other.
That's exactly it.
I feel like the Lord would really emphasize that this morning, that you are able to minister to this body.
That's exactly right.
Just by being yourself in Christ, but there's an aspect of overcoming in all of that, like I expressed. I know that, like I'm just assuming that Sister Sarah was nervous to stand up there and give that testimony. Am I right? That she overcame it and became such a blessing. And so, you know, a few weeks ago when I went to Brother Perryman, and I know what the Lord told me to tell him, and I had to overcome something to go tell him, Brother, God wanted me to come and tell you these things. And he said, Brother Tony, I've been praying for this. So, you know, but that's all we do. We're not geniuses in ourselves.
Right.
We're not
great
ones in ourselves. But what we are is we're Christians.
That's it.
And all we have to do is be led by the Spirit of God.
That's it.
And because the Scripture says in Ephesians, that this body, when it grows up into full maturity, all the members of that body know how to bring edifying to itself.
That's right.
In love.
That's right.
As long as God's in the midst of us, we'll know how to edify and build up in ourselves. And God, the life of God will just emanate through us all. And so with all that, I believe that God wants us, no matter how high the gas prices get, no matter what it is, I believe God wants us to be happy and joyful. And as soon as we can have that in our bosom, that revelation down inside that says, you know what, God is my provider.
That's right.
You find in the scriptures where he said, don't even number yourself, Israel. Don't you go out there and number and see how many soldiers you have, because it doesn't matter how many soldiers you have. Because God's with you, you'll always win.
Amen.
And David got the whole nation in trouble when he went and numbered, when he knew he shouldn't have. And he numbered anybody when he knew he shouldn't have. And God had to bring correction because of that. But that's the concept. It does not matter how many there are among us, as long as God's among us.
Amen.
That's right.
It don't make any difference how rich or how poor, whether we got a huge church or a small church, whether you got a lot of money, whatever it is, or don't have it. As long as we have God, we have everything that we need. Healing, comfort, peace, it's all right there.
Amen.
Saints, I think the Lord has spoke to us well this morning. I've been happy to be in the house of the Lord and hear what I've heard today.
Amen.
And remember, it's Fellowship Sunday, so let's don't let the fire of God that is in us right now, the joy that we feel, don't let that die down. Share that with one another. Give your testimonies to one another of how you overcome and how the Lord's helping you. I want to just pray before we get ready to go. Just bow our hearts to Him. Lord, we thank you for your blessings this morning upon us. We are so thankful, Lord, because just a few words from you, Lord, it brings such a peace to our soul. And it puts our feet back on our pathway with steady strides, Lord. And we thank you for that. Today, we know that your blessings have been here to bless each heart across the room tonight. We thank you, Lord. And we know that as we go today that we've got something in us, Lord, to help us fight the battles that we'll see this week. And Lord, it's not that we don't want to ask you, Lord, not to allow battles to come our way. But we ask, God, that you would allow us to always turn to you that we can overcome these things. We ask, God, that you just be among your people, be the hope and stay of your people as they go today. Be with their fellowship. Protect them on the highways. We love you, Lord. Commit this day and this people into thy hands. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's sing a song and just do this.
In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. Sing to
Oh,